Okay, we're up to doing kinos today. Anyone has a kino? There are kinos here on the table. If anyone doesn't have, we're doing today kinos. We're up to Chaf Aleph. I believe we have not skipped anything yet, right? We've touched upon every single kinos so far. I'm not going to be able to do that today, but we've done so far up to 20. There are 45 kinos in total. I believe 20 of the 45 were written by the Kalir. Some of them, one was written by Rabbi Yehuda Halevi, and the others were written by other Paitanim, which some of them were more familiar, some were less familiar with, and some we don't even know. Some of the kinos, we do not have an author, we do not know who wrote them. And yet, they're part of our tradition to recite them. Okay, so let's start now up the kino Chaf Aleph. Kino Chaf Aleph is a very powerful kino. Everyone says it's kino. It's Arzei HaLevanon, the kino that deals with the Asara Haruge Malchus. Okay, so here we have Arze. Also, your version, so I think I have an interlinear. I have some of my notes in the interlinear, but I want to follow along with you as well. Same page number? 248. Okay, so Arze Halavana Nadiri HaTorah. Now, if you notice, the acrostic follows the letters of the Aleph base. Okay, that it does as well. Okay, it goes all the way down to Reish. It stops by Reish. For some reason, it stops by Reish. What happened to the Shin and the Tuf? I don't know. I never realized that. Okay, but, no, I'm sorry. What am I saying over here? Mem, what a mem, nun. The Shin is out of order. There's a Shin. Where's the Samach? Okay, I'm not sure what happened over here. Chof, Lamed, Mem, Nun. There's no samach. Samach and it's not interchangeable.
You look on page 250, the notes on 250.
Yeah, what does it say? And it says there, what do we do? Okay, for some reason, the alphabetical acrostic is discontinued after the first 20 letters and omits the letters shin and tof. Okay, but notice also, what about the sin? Some as equivalent to a samach, correct? Okay, Samach Ayin Pei Tzadi Kuf Reish, and for some reason we leave out the Shin and the Tanei.
Shin has been lost or removed by the census.
Correct. And in fact, we are missing, there's no question that this has been manipulated because we only have here 8. Even though it says here in the Kina that there are 10, it says there are 10 martyrs. Okay, let's look a look where it says Giborei Koyach Amolecha B'Tahara Damam Nishbach V'Nashasa Givura Hinam Kidoshei Harugei Malchus Asara. Remember, this week we spoke about who is the subject of the word Malchus. So we simply understand it to mean the Malchus Harisha'ah, the criminal, the one that has committed this crime of murdering for no reason 10 Tzadikim, 10 Talmidei Chachamim. The Malchus Harisha'ah. Yet, if that would be correct, we discussed this, it would similarly should say Haruge Asara. Asara Haruge Malchus. Why is the word Asara at the end? The word Asara.
The letters of Resha'as.
The red letters are.
If you. You have Reish, Shin, Ayin,
Pei.
Resha'ah. Malchut,
Resha'ah. Harisha'ah. But that.
Bliha. Malchut, Resha'ah.
Rasha'ah. Wow, very good. I like that. Excellent. Wow, you see that? So the reason why we switched Malchus Asara is to allude to, unbelievable, that's an incredible insight. They wanted to avoid the censors. So instead of the sense, they wrote the word Asara, and they wrote it, Risha'ah. Wow. Okay, that's another answer. That's an amazing answer. That's incredible what you just said. Malchus Risha'ah. The Malchus Harugei Malchus Risha'ah. Fantastic. Okay, so we also discussed, though, Drush. You slug up my whole Drush. Cake, is that the subject of the word, the subject of Malchus are the Talmidei Chachamim, because Chazal make it very clear, Man Malkei, who are the kings? Rabbanan. The Rabbanan are the true kings. And we discussed this week because what is the essence of Malchus? It's what's called Nimusei Malchus. What does it mean, Nimusei Malchus? It means a code of conduct. The way what you eat, the way you dress, the way you talk, the way you behave, the way you conduct yourself. Talmidei Chachamim, the real Talmidei Chacham, are not just people who have good heads and know how to learn Daf Gemara. The learning affects their conduct, their behavior. And when I told this var to someone, he told me that it's meduyik what I'm saying. If you don't say what you just, Rav Kalman just said, that asara is a remes to rishah, but if you take it literally, it should have been asara harugei malchus. Why does it put the word asara at the end? It's to teach you that we're not focusing on the malchus harishah, we're focusing on the 10 members of malchus. Who are the 10 members of malchus? The Rabbanon, Manalke Rabbanon. And we're coming to mourn the loss of Talmidei Chachamim of high caliber, high stature. Fantastic what you just said, Kalman. It's amazing what you just said. I have to write that down. Okay, now, over here, we know that even though it may appear that it took place in one point in time, it did not take place over a period of at least 52 years, from the time of the Churban to the time of Beitar. Rabbi Akiva lived in Beitar. However, there's one important point. This was one generation which had within it 10 great people. And although throughout history there have been generations where we have living within us, among us, great Talmidei Chachamim, where could you say that in a generation, one generation, there are 10 outstanding Talmidei Chachamim? Who was a match for the Gra? Okay, was there another person like the Gra living at that time? Okay, what?
Yeah.
Baal Shem Tov? Okay, so you have two.
You have more than that. You have also, what do you call it, the Chayogam, they overlap.
Okay.
Behuda, I think, right?
Okay, but you don't have, we're talking about caliber that's beyond belief, of an intensity of a collection of 10 Talmidei Chachamim who were contemporaries, they saw each other. That's why this Dar was so special. Now someone here over here, who got, I don't know, I forgot his name, he may have said to me a very fascinating idea, that why is it that we only have 8? We're missing here in the Kina 2 of the Asara Harugei Malchus. So the truth is, there are old Kinois which appear to have escaped the censors, which add in 2 more lines and fill in the missing 2. However, for whatever reason, that's not our tradition. We have still most of the sidurim, the machzorim, the kinois have not restored the missing last 2. And yet it starts out by telling us there are 10 harugei malchus asara, and the kino only has 8. So it's mentioned to me is because in every generation, Rachmana Litzlan, or throughout history, there have been times when people have died al kiddush Hashem in a horrible way, which we can certainly say are no different than the Asara Harugei Malchus. Talk about the Holocaust. Is there any way to explain the people that were shenishrifu in Auschwitz? Is there any difference between those people and what it says about the Asara Gemalchus? And when Moshe Rabbeinu saw Rabbi Akiva and he wanted to know what was the end of Rabbi Akiva, and he saw that he was being burned to death, he was being tortured, and he was being thrown into the fire, Moshe said, Zu Torah, the Malachim said, who's the one who said, the Malachim or Moshe, I forgot, Zu Torah, the Zu Sechara. And Hashem said, Shtoik, Kach Ola, in my thoughts, this is my Machshava, and do not question me. And in other words, it's something which is beyond our understanding. Kach Ola b'machshavosai, whatever the word is, this is my plan, do not challenge me. And unfortunately, in history, there have been situations where people have suffered to a degree where we wonder, Zu Torah, v'zu schara? And the only response we can relate to is what it says in the Gemara, where Hashem said, Shtoik, kach Ola. This is what my plan is. You will never understand this. Therefore, it's by design that we're missing here 2 of the Asara Harugei Malchus. Because the Asara Harugei Malchus was not limited to the generation, the Dor Shel Shmad, the aftermath of the Churban Beis HaMikdash. Unfortunately, history has shown us that there were other generations in where people suffered the fate of the Asara Harugei Malchus, and they're part of that last zug, that last peer that's absent from this kina. Okay, let's go to, now, some of the people here mentioned that, but also other interesting ideas, that the way they die is different. Each individual, each one of the Asara Harugei Malchus, you pay close attention, died a different type of death. Let's see, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, the Nasi, see, his skin was flayed. Okay, he was tortured, not by the sword, not by fire. The Hegmon pulled the flesh off his skin. This is how he took his life. What about Rabbi Shmuel Kohen Gadol. I'm sorry, the other way around. First was Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, how was he killed? Let's see what it says over here in the words of the Kina. They cast a lot. Pashat Savaroi Uvacha Kinigzra Gezera L'Rabban Shimon Chazar Ahegman Lahargoi B'Nefesh Nitzura. It appears that he was killed. His head was decapitated. Okay, Cheref. His head was decapitated. And that's why Rabbi Shmuel Kohen Gadol, he picked up his head and put his eyes upon his eyes, his nose upon his nose, mouth upon, that was the form of death. When it came to Rabbi Yishmael Kohen Gadol, he was killed in a different method, a different way, by having his skin flayed from his head, as per the advice of his daughter who wanted to preserve his beauty. Rabbi Akiva, the next one, Rabbi Akiva was thrown into, was combed, v'sorkoyes b'soroy b'masrek shel barza. He died by being combed with a comb of barza, a different type of death. Ben Baba, Rabbi Yehuda ben Baba Acharav, how did he die? Hida Yoshe Betainis, so does not say, it says in the Medrash Eicha. It says there in the Medrash Eicha, I think he was killed by stoning. If I'm not mistaken, some of them were killed by throwing stones upon him. Others, Rabbi Hanan ben Tradin, we all know he was killed by fire. He was thrown into a fire, and they applied to his heart sponges that were dipped in water to prevent him from dying quickly so that he should suffer more. So he died by fire. Then we go further, Rabbi Yeshevav HaSoifer Hargu Amamoira, Zarkuv Yishlichu Lakilovim. Okay, now that Lachar means they threw his dead body to the dogs, but does it mean also they threw him alive to the dogs? It's not so clear. And V'chulu, they go through other ones over here, go to Rabbi Elaz ben Shamua, Bu'acharoyna Nerag Bimad Kira by stabbing. Okay, so if you pay close attention to the Asara Harugei Malchus, take note that each one of these 10 people, some of the details are filled in by the Medrash Asara Harugei Malchus, and there it describes in more detail exactly what happened to each one of them, who they were, and if you just take note that there were all different types of death. There was death by decapitation, death by stabbing, death by stoning, death by fire, and death by flaying of the skin, death by combing the flesh with a comb of barzel. Each one of the Asara Harugei Malchus suffered a different type of death. How they died, when they died, the Medrash elaborates, some of them died, Rabbi Akiva died reciting Kriyat Shema, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Two of them died Friday night reciting Kiddush. In the middle of Kiddush, they asked the Hegmon to wait until Shabbos begins, and the timing of their death is also very significant against the backdrop of Shabbos, the backdrop of reciting Kriyat Shema. And Rabbi Chanan ben Tradion, his daughter was watching, he was having a conversation with his daughter, and he told his daughter that if it would be only I who died, I would be worried. But now that I'm being wrapped in a Sefer Torah, the one that will come to avenge the zilzal, the bezoin of the Sefer Torah will come to avenge my life as well. He viewed it as a nechama that he died wrapped in a Sefer Torah. So that's a nechama for the, you know, all the book burnings in Jewish history, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu will certainly come to avenge the tragedy of the Sifrei Kodesh being destroyed in the hands of our enemies. When Hashem comes for the Sifrei Kodesh, He'll come for us also. It's the same idea of Chaim Ben Tradyan and the Chama. When he told his daughter, it applies very much to us because we very much suffer, and our Sefarim, our Sifrei Kodesh, there have been many book burnings throughout Jewish history, going all the way back from, going back. The truth is, when was the first book burning? The first book burning was Moshe Rabbeinu. He shattered the Luchos. By Moshe Rabbeinu shattering the Luchos, that's truly no different than Sreifa Sefer Torah. So who did the first book burning? Moshe Rabbeinu. Why? Whatever reason, shock therapy. We were not deserving to receive the Torah Kedosha, the Luchos, the Masei V'Haluchos, Masei Elokim Hema. And Moshe Rabbeinu, could you imagine? See, we're brainwashed. As children, we learn about Moshe comes out from the mountain, he takes the Luchos, and he shatters the Luchos. Could you imagine a rabbi telling his balabatim, you know, you're not behaving, you're talking during davening, you don't learn, you don't do mitzvahs, you do averos, you speak lashon hara, when I make an appeal for tzedakah, you don't give money to tzedakah, and your kashra standards are not so great, and no one in the shul has a filter on their internet. So Rabbi, you're all hopeless people. So and the rabbi goes to the Aron HaKodesh, he takes out the Sefer Torah, and he burns the Sefer Torah. Could you imagine such a story today? Could you imagine a rabbi doing that today? You're hopeless. Could you imagine the rabbi goes to the Aron HaKodesh and after giving him a message, he says, you don't deserve the Sefer Torah, so you know what, who needs it? So let me go. And he ignites the Sefer Torah, the smoke alarms go off, the police department comes, they put out the fire, they take him away. That's exactly what Moshe Rabbeinu did. Isn't that amazing? We don't look at it like that because we've been taught this when we're 3 years old, so we forgot, we're brainwashed, and we don't pay attention. But is that not exactly what Moshe Rabbeinu did? He comes down from the mountain with his hands in his hand, something that's far more valuable, infinitely more valuable than a Sefer Torah. He has in his hands the Luchos, the tablets, the Haluchos Ma'aseh Elokim Hema, the Hamichtav is the Michtav Elokim, and Moshe shatters the Luchos. What Moshe did was infinitely worse than the story that I just told you. But the story that I just told you, you're telling me I'm out of my mind, crazy, what kind of rabbi is this? But Moshe did exactly the same thing. We don't look at it like that because we forgot about it. That's really what happened. And every time we focus on the Sreifa of a Sefer Torah, it really takes us back to Moshe Rabbeinu, the time of the Shviras Haluchas. Okay, let's now go to Kinuch HaBeis. Kinuch HaBeis is the kina of the first crusade. It's interesting that over here in the art scroll, the old art scroll, they don't even want to say that this kina, I think it's here as well, even in the new art scroll, they still refuse to acknowledge that this kina refers to the first crusade. What do they write over here in the notes?
This particular tragedy is unknown.
It's unknown, okay?
It aptly describes one of many massacres in Pogrom.
Pogrom. So this, that's what they write over here in their introduction on the bottom. What they wrote over here is a tremendous chiddush, because almost any other, no, they write that as I made a mistake. I thought they updated it. I thought they revised it, but they did not. They maintain that opinion that the event that is being described here is unknown. It's a massacre that is unknown. And they do not want to acknowledge that this very likely is a reference to the first crusade of the year 1096. Now the truth is, many of the commentators tell us that there are four kinos in total that describe that relate to 1096. What are the four kinos? This one right here, Chav Beis, Chav Hei, Chav Tes, and Lamed Gimel. Now, Chav Hei, you cannot deny, because Chav Hei actually talks about the date, the calendar date of Tatnu, and describes the cities Shapira, Magensia, and Varmiza. It describes the three cities, the three major cities that were affected by the First Crusade, Mainz, Speyer, and Worms. what was called Kihiloi Shum. It's an acronym. Shum means garlic. Shum is three letters. Shin, Vav, Mem. Shin is Shapira. Vav is Varmiza. Mem is Magensia. Spire, worms, and mines. These were three cities in the Rhineland. There are three cities today in the Rhineland in Germany. That kina describes in very great detail the dates and exactly what happened. It took place in between Pesach and Shavuos, closer to Shavuos, and it describes what happened. So there's no question about the kina chav hei is a clear description of the first crusade. Kina chav tes and kina lamed gimel as well. If you turn quickly to kina chav tes, when we come back to kina chav. Chav days in a moment, but if you just turn quickly for a moment to Kina Chav Tes, just to take a quick look at that Kina. It could be when they wrote this Kina, this was written a very, very long time ago by Avraham Chaim Feuer. It was written probably more than 20, probably almost 25 years ago. He did the commentary. A lot has changed in 25 years. An enormous amount of new information and study and development of the knowledge of what the kinas are referring to has been brought forth. When Avraham Chaim Feuer, when he broke his head to translate the kinas and to write a commentary, what did he have available to him? Almost nothing. It's amazing. There was no Eitz HaChochma. Okay, there's no computer Eitz HaChochma to have available to you. Rabbi Soloveitchik's works were not even yet public. They were on tape somewhere, hidden away somewhere. How many svarim were written at that time to decipher? Maybe Rabbi Goldschmidt, there's a very good kinas from Rabbi Goldschmidt, published by Moshe Rav Kook. That was like the only thing that was really, really, really worked over, where he traced each expression to a pasuk. What did they have? They had almost nothing. Only not that long ago, 1991.
That we read when we did the First Crusade, they weren't available.
The history of the First Crusade was available. That's no question about it.
But they describe it in there. In those books that we read, they describe it.
Not like this. Not the way it's described over here.
They don't say the parents killed the children.
They do, but there were many massacres in Jewish history where supposedly parents killed children. You can't prove it. Maybe there's a suspicion. There's a very strong likelihood, but for the sake of intellectual honesty, if you can't prove it, you can't write it. It may very well be assumed, but it cannot be proven. And they decided, once that's the way it went down in print, obviously they decided not to update it. I'm sure it's by design, because they did make upgrades. I know that for a fact. They did correct certain things in the commentary, but you can't blame them one bit. In 1991, it was an awesome thing that they did. Who had this? What was it for kinas? It was nothing in those days. Zero. You had one translation that was very, very, very unsatisfying. It's very, very difficult. And they broke it open, and since then, the amount of research and things that have been published is just not real. And it's also especially due to, Eitz HaChochma, where now they have electronically, you have access to how many, 70, 80,000 Sfarim? I mean, there was no access to 80,000 Sfarim in those days. Now you just type in a few words, you get what you can get is not real. So they did not want to write over here in the footnotes that this kina was composed in commemoration of the First Crusade. We'll get to that in one. But look at kina, just look at the other four kinas that are discussed. Kina Chav Tes, it says over here, Amarti Shu Mini Bivri Amorer. Stay away from me. I want to cry bitterly. Mar Navshi Veruchi Akorer. My nesham is bitter, and my spirit, akorer. I will soothe by crying. Im liviyasan hasidim loarer. That's a very good question. What that word means? The word liviyasan. Just because there's a translation in the article, that's not the only translation. Okay, if you just fast forward in that kina, further down, it says there. Omru, they said luchu v'nach chidei migoy v'lo yizocher shem Yisrael oid. The Jewish nation no longer exists. Zois hish miu b'nei mikoy ra'av. Loi niachel. This is what they proclaimed, and then it goes on to say the response. This is what the people, the mikoyrov means our enemy. They called out to us. They invited us to convert to Christianity. And what was our response? Loi niachel. We will yearn for Hashem. Im yiktilenu, even if you will kill us. Naritz limoyraof. Okay. I'm reading. Let me find it on your keen. I'm sorry, because I'm reading over here from my interlinear. Give me one moment, please. I'm reading from Kina Choftes. Kina Choftes is found. Okay, 292. And I'm jumping down to where it says. Okay, where it says Vav Zayin. Okay, Zayin. You go down, it's arranged by the letters of the Aleph base. And it says there, Zois Hishmi'onu B'nei Mikoyrov. The following response was given by the children of those that were summoned to convert to Christianity. That we were invited to the church to be baptized. And what was our response to being invited to the church for baptism? The response was, Loi niyachel, Loi here refers to Hashem, to him, to the Ribbono shel Olam, we will yearn, Im yiktilenu, even if you will kill us. We're not going to be baptized, we're not going to convert to Christianity. Na'aritz, we will revere Limoira of our Creator, our God, the Ribbono shel Olam, the one who is the source of all Moira. Heichad Hashem Zevach. Hashem, and they realized that they were basically going to die. By not converting to Christianity, they were going to die. And they realized that Hashem has prepared them, the people, to be a sacrifice. Hikdish Kiruov, Hashem has sanctified the guests. Ekodesh. Kiruov means the guests. We are the guests. We have been summoned to the church. We realize now that we basically, Hashem has sanctified us to be a sacrifice, to die al kiddush Hashem, and not to give in to the Christians. Okay, then it goes on to say, let's jump down a little bit further to the letter Chaf. The letter Chaf on the next page 294. Kovash of rachamav lo zevach. A father, he suppressed his natural mercy to his children, but instead went forward and sacrificed his own child. Yiladav hishlim kichonim lotevach. He gave over his children as a sacrifice, like a sheep. Heichin livonav matbeach. He prepared for them the slaughter. Matbeach means the slaughter, the butchering block. To their mothers, the children said, do not worry, we are ready to be slaughtered and butchered. As they were prepared for slaughter, and they were taken from their place to the sword, to the knife, to die. Noshim, Piriam, Olele, Tapuchim, the women who looked at their children die, they mi yishma velo yidma, who can hear such a thing and not cry? Habe nishchat, the child is being slaughtered, v'ra'av koreyashma, and the father, while this child is dying, is being killed, the father is reciting kriyashma, miro kozoisu mishama, v'chul, and goes on and describes more things like this. We have to go forward. But basically, the description over here appears to be pretty much the same thing that we have on record that took place during the First Crusade of 1096. So this kina, again, is the kina of the First Crusade. Okay? Let's just go back for a moment. We started with kina. We didn't do yet kina. We do kina chavez one moment. I just want to go and fast forward to show you that the other kinas as well, chav hey, look quickly at kina chav hey. Kina chav hey is clearly a reference to the First Crusade. Miyitein roshi mayim ve'eni mikor noizlai. If only my head can be a source of water and my tears would drip, would give forth a wellspring, would flow forth like a well. Ve'evke kol yimaisai ve'leilai, I will cry all of my days and my evenings. And it goes on to describe over here. If you go down, you read the dates. It actually tells you the dates. Okay, va'koinein, let me turn to your page. Let me turn to your page, Kina Chaf Hey.
270.
Okay, on page 272. In the middle of the page, where do you see the middle of the page? Let's go to the next page.
Second line on page 274.
Okay. On page 274. Okay, page 274. The very, very top. Pamayim kidshu shem hamayuchad b'mayra. Twice did the victim sanctify Hashem's name with reverence. The Eshrim u'shloisha b'chodesh ziv, the 23rd day of Chodesh Ziv. Chodesh Ziv is a reference in Ksuvim to Iyar. Right before Shavuos, Litahara, they were purified. They died al Kiddush Hashem. Uvachodesh Hashalishi, Rosh Chodesh Sivan, while they were saying Hallel in the Beis HaKnesses, Bikriyas Hallel L'Shoira, Hishlimu Navsham Ahava Kishua. They gave over their neshamos with an intense love. Ahima Alehem Bivchi Yelel L'Chashara. I cry over them with a wailing cry, saturated with tears, kilulei keser al reisham la'atara, those who were adorned with a crown upon their head. Then it goes further to describe the exact dates. V'al adirei kahal magensa hahadura, the mighty ones of the kihila of Magensia, Mainz, Minisharim kalu me'arayos lehiskabura, they were swifter than eagles, more mighty than lions. Eshlimu nafsham al yichud shem hanayra, ve'aleim zakah shever e'sho'ara, I cry out with a broken cry. Al shnei mikdoshai yisaydam kuyam. And he goes on to describe more things. Let's jump down one more line. Bechodesh hashlishi b'shlishi. Another tragedy took place in the third month, Chodesh Sivan, on the third day of the month. 3 days before Matan Torah, Noisaf l'davoin u'me'era, ha'chodesh asher nepach li'agoin v'tzara, b'yom Matan dos, sibarti lihis asera. On the day that the Torah should be given, and I would renew my loyalty, but on that day, terrible things happened. He goes on to describe all the details. I'm not so fluent in the words of the Kina, obviously, as you can see. But here he describes in very great detail what happened on these days. And we make mention of the three cities. Over here, we'll mention of Magensia. If you read further, it mentions... Yes, it happened. Will happen right before Shavuos. And we make mention of the three major cities in the Rhineland that were destroyed by the Crusaders as they marched from France to Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh. And as they marched, they passed to Germany, and they decided, they said to themselves, why should we wait to murder the infidels in the Holy Land while we have infidels in our own backyard? And they went into Germany, and they destroyed these three holy cities. These were the people, these were the Rishonim, these were the Balei Tosfos. Some of them, the night before they died, they were finishing writing up the words of Tosfos, which we read in our Daf Gemara. Now there's one more Kina, and that Kina Yishno, I found something very interesting about it. It's not Muchrach, that actually refers to the First Crusade. And that is Kina, I think it's Lamed Gimel. If we turn to Kina Lamed Gimel in our Kinois. Okay, page 316. Okay, page 316. Kina Lamed Gimel is assumed to be the fourth Kina reference to the First Crusade. If you jump down to the letters Kuf and Resh, towards the bottom it says they are Kol Batei Chenesiois Vatei Su Shiois. The cries that came out of the Batei Chenesiois and the Batei Su Shiois of study, Rachmonios, compassionate mothers, Bidehen Nikiois, with hands that were clean and innocent, Zivche Riois. They slaughter their children as if they were an oilas ri'ia, a carbon oil that you bring on the festival. Alalali, shalomim v'oilois chasonim v'chalois. A chason and kala were killed, were murdered as a carbon, as if they were shalomim and oilois. Toidois uvelilois, a carbon toida, and the mincha offering, that was the equivalent of the bachurim ubisulois v'toyvei kihilois, the young men, the young girls, and the best of the kihilois. Achim gam yachad nishbach damam keechad, brothers together died. Kein achoyos bepachad, sisters biyiras shem hamayuchad latevach lehei'ochid, they died together. And it goes on to describe more descriptions, and there is one very important line over here which is a very curious line which has shaken up some of the experts who decipher these kinois. Well, first of all, let's go back to Yud. Let's go back to the letter Yud. The letter Yud is a very critical letter to prove that this kino refers to the First Crusade. In the letter Yud, it says, Yir Osam, Kish Kishu, Ve'osos Hikishu. Their deity, they rallied, and their symbols, they hikishu. Hikishu means they banged. This, according to some, is understood to mean the reason why it was called a crusade means to take the cross. And the cross, as we all know, is a symbol of Yashka. It's the symbol of the death, the crucifixion of Yashka. So here where it says they took their deity and kishkishu, they shook it. In the descriptions of the First Crusade, they would put a crucifix on a pole, on a large stick, and they would raise it high, and they would shake it, and that's how they would rally the soldiers to march forward and to attack. That's in addition to taking the symbol, the crucifix, and to put it and to stitch it onto their garment. Crusade means to take hold of the cross and to attach it to your garment. And here, seemingly, this line in the Kina Lamed Gimel is a description describing them doing just that. Yirasam kishkishu v'oisois hikishu. Their deity did they shake, and their sign, the shesi v'erif, hikishu did they. It's not so clear what that word means. Hikishu did they bang. What? Hikishu is Yashka. Yaksha. Very good, very good. Very good. You're really good at this. The word Hikishu is a code word for Yashka because it has his name. Yud, Kuf, Shin, Hey, Yaksha. Yeah.
That was not really his name.
Yeshu. We call him Yashka. Yeah.
We call him
Yashka. Right. They put their insignia on their uniform. The Oisi Ikishu, and they perverted. They terrorize us. So here you see a clear reference. Now, if we just go back for one, we don't have to go back. I just want to point out one. So this Kina, L'chaira, is very, very strong. It's clearly referring to the First Crusade, and this is the smoking gun that refers to the First Crusade. Kina Chof, hey, we've proven it. It makes mention. There's nothing to deny. It makes mention of Varmiza, Magensia, and Shapira. There's nothing to discuss. It makes mention of the date there as well. But going back to Kina, the fourth Kina, what was the fourth Kina? Anyone would remind me? It was Chav Gimel. That was the first Kina. Chav Tes. So let's just go back one more moment to Kina Chav Tes, which Kina Chav Tes is a bit more controversial. If Kina Chav Tes really refers to the First Crusade, because in Kina Chav Tes it says, let me find the words. Let me just find the words that I'm looking for. Just give me half a moment to see the words I'm looking for. Oh, here it is. Okay. If you look at the letter Samach, Mem Nun Samach, Ayin, right before you come to the letter Ayin, it says three words, which open up a whole world. Eim Habonim Semecha. Now, what does that mean? So similarly, it means we're describing the First Crusade, and when the mother saw that her children were so pure, that they were willing to die al Kiddush Hashem instead of converting to Christianity, the mothers expressed joy. Eim Habonim Semecha. All right, if you want to say that's true, that's true. Do we really have descriptions of that being so? I'm not so sure. But some of the commentators, they want to say, I saw this somewhere, and you're not going to see this in too many places, is that this kina was really a very, very old kina. And it was written in reference to an event that happened during the time of Hanukkah. So that means we're going back way, way back to the time of the Yavanim, okay, in the middle of the Bayis Sheni, okay, and during the time of the Bayis Sheni, because this is the language, Chana v'Shiva Bonecha, Yehudis, the whole story of Chana v'Shiva Bonecha and Yehudis, when exactly took place is very, very vague, and there are different versions of when exactly it took place. But being that this language is a language that is associated with that time period of the Yavanim, and we do know that during the Yavanim for approximately 50 years, the story of Hanukkah was a gzera of 50 years, it was a time period of Shmat, 50 years, and there's no doubt that there were stories just like this, that Christianity did not exist yet at that point in time in history, not at least the way that we know it. Christianity first began much, much later, towards the very, very end of the Bayis Sheni. Okay, Bayis Sheni was in the year 70, so we're talking over approximately 70 years. Exactly. So Hanukkah took place 200 years before the Churban Bayis Sheni. So some want to suggest, and some argue, some have sources, that this kina was composed to commemorate the Kedoshim who died in the time period of Matisyahu and his five children. In that time period, there was a gezerah of Shmat, similar to what the Christians later would try to do to the Jewish people, to try to force the Jews to abandon Yiddishkeit, and Jews would refuse to do so on pain of death. And here it would make mention of Eim Habonim Semecha, and that entire generation that refused to give in and they preferred to die instead of give up Yadlis and bow down to Avodah Zarah. The entire kina has been composed in reference to an event, a tekufa, long before the First Crusade. We're dealing more than 1,200 years before the First Crusade. So it's an amazing difference of opinion as to when this kina was composed. You have the same words, and some of the kinas will tell you there are four kinois that were composed to commemorate the First Crusade. Archko will not acknowledge that the first one was composed for the First Crusade, which we have yet to read over a little bit. And the second one, Kina Chaf Hei, beyond doubt, was composed in commemoration of the First Crusade. Kina Lamed Gimel, with those words, Yir Asam Kishkishu, L'chora seemingly refers to the First Crusade beyond the shadow of also the First Crusade. But this kina is the one that is suspect, that is not for the First Crusade, although the ideas are very similar. It can very well be that it's much more ancient than we can possibly believe, and is referencing something which happened during the time of the Bayis, the middle of the Bayis Sheni, the time of the Hanukkah miracle. Now let's go back now to Kina Chav Beis. Kina Chav Beis, we're going to assume, as most assume, it was composed to commemorate the First Crusade. And why? What does the Crusade describe? Let's discuss some of the history of the First Crusade. The year was 1095. Well, the truth was, it was really before 1095. There were continuous wars between, struggles between the Islam and Christianity. dominance over the world. And the Christians originally had control of many holy places, what they considered to be holy places in Eretz Yisrael. And in the period of time leading up to 1096, the Muslims, or the Turkish Muslims, they gained power. They gained power and prominence, and they succeeded in overtaking different areas, in conquering territory and holy sites that until this point in time were under the jurisdiction of the Christians. And this angered the church very, very much. Now, in response to the attempt of the Muslims, the Turkish Muslims, to conquer land and to achieve dominance in the region, the church, the Pope, Pope Urban II, he issued a call to march to Yerushalayim and take back from the Muslims the holy places. Specifically, the goal was to take back the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. What is the Church of the Holy Sepulchre? Really, the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. What is the Church of the Holy Sepulchre? This is the place where they believed that Yoshka was buried. And it was theirs until this point in time, but the Muslims, they took control, and he called that they should return and march to Yerushalayim, to Eretz Yisrael, and take it back, and in the process, take back other holy places and flex their muscles and show their dominance. And he issued a call, and for some reason that's not fully understood, the whole Christian world got all worked up. Not just the original plan that there should be a professional army going to Jerusalem, but the common man also wanted to participate in this event. And there have been many studies done as to why exactly they wanted to do so. Is it because it was for religious reasons? Many will argue that it was nothing to do with religion. They just were restless. They were looking for adventure. They were looking to loot their victims. They were looking for money. They were also granted forgiveness for their sins if they would participate. There was a collection of reasons why they all got together and decided to join this crusade march, what would appear to be a suicidal mission to march 3,000 miles through Europe all the way to Jerusalem from France. But they did. They did so. And on the way of marching, they passed through Jewish settlements. And the first was the Rhineland in Germany. These three cities, plus a lot more, and they wreaked havoc, and they slaughtered Jews, they stole their money, and we all know the horrors that took place in this period of time. This Kina describes this in very great detail, some of these ideas. And one very interesting thing, and that is the Christians, they called this movement a crusade. And as we explained, the crusade means to take the cross, to take hold of the cross, to affix it to their garments. Chazal have their own term. The Python here has his own term to describe this event. Chazal did not call this event a crusade. If you look down about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, approximately 12 lines down, it says in this Kinan Chav Beis, Kinan Chav Beis, okay, I'm have a different Kinan, so let me find the page. On page 254, okay, we jump down. It says the words, let me find it in your Kina exactly. Okay, it's right in the middle of the page. Right in the middle of the page where it says, V'chol zokon gidu'ah, every beard has been cut out, V'al kolev anachah, there is anguish, me'oz, from when, nis'oirer goy, a nation has aroused itself, goy'az, a brazen nation, doyresh shucha, to seek the pit. The Python here defines the first crusade with the term expression doyresh shucha. The Christians called it a crusade. Amongst the Ummah Yisraelim, it's called the first crusade. In the Python's vocabulary, it's called doyresh, to seek the pit, the shucha. So what does this mean? What exactly does this mean? So some want to suggest it means the Shucha is a derogatory code word for the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. That is where they believe that their idol, Yoshka, is buried. So they went to seek out, to take back into their hands, the Shucha, this church. We're calling the Shucha with the derogatory term a pit, a burial crypt, a cavity, a grave. That is one interpretation that has been suggested by some of the more modern commentators. However, you don't necessarily need to go there. And you can say something much simpler. The Christians, they call their mission a crusade. They gave it religious significance. Crusade again means to take the cross, to take the crucifix, to take this Shesi Ve'erev, which is a symbol of their idol, and to affix it to their garments and to march. They were presenting themselves as going on a holy mission. They're holy people seeking out divinity, seeking out something noble, something righteous, something upright. Chazal say, you're a bunch of liars. You're a bunch of creeps. This is what you call holy and noble. You're going to seek your own death. You're going to seek for yourself the Be'er Shachas. You call this a crusade? The cross, a god, a deity, to affix upon your body? You're coming to seek, you're looking to die. You're going to commit suicide. It's Chazal's analysis of what they are really doing. The Goyim, the Umay Soilam, have their definition, their expression, their term for this event. And Chazal, the Paitan, has his term to define this event. The term he uses is called the Doresh Shucha. Okay, now, in this kingdom, we have to read a few words. Okay, before we go further to the next kingdom, we must read, there are some very, very powerful words here in this kingdom. Just a little bit. Okay, and where it starts, Vinisva'adu. And the word Vinisva'adu begins on the last line on page 254. The only thing you say in this kina, these lines, it's kedai. Okay, on page 254, it says, V'nisvadu b'frishus uv'tahara. They all got together. B'frishus uv'tahara. Abstinence and impurity. L'kadei shem ha'godol v'hanayra. To sanctify Hashem's name. What did they do? V'ish esachiv chizku be'ezra. Each man, they strengthen one another. Lidabek b'yira tahira, to cleave to Hashem with pure fear of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Bili kiroya la'avod zara, not to bow to the idol, not to give in to the enemy, not to convert to Christianity. V'loichasu gever u'gvira, a man and a woman that had no rachmonis al bonim tzifiras tifara, on their children that were the crown of their heads. Aval Ozru Gvur Yisera, they girded themselves with enormous strength. Lahaloim Roish, the translation here is to smash the heads of their children. The Likroitz Shedra, and to sever the spine of their children, in order that their children not be taken away from them and be brainwashed and be given over to a missionary where they would become Christians. And as they took the life of their tender children, they said to them the words, V'aleimoy dibru ba'amira, and to them they spoke, Loi zochinu, we did not merit legad delchem la Torah. It's sad for us that it has come to this, that we did not merit to raise you in the ways of Torah, and we are being threatened now. We are threatened that you are going to be taken away from us and being given over to Avodah Zarah, and we have no choice but to do this to you and to take your lives. Nakrivchem ki oilo vehak Torah. We have to sacrifice you like a carbon oilo, like a ketores, and do not worry. We will be reunited in the Olam HaEmes, and in this world after Tchiyas HaMeisim, v'niske imochem lo'oira hatzifuna, to the light that's hidden away for the tzaddikim, me'ein kol valuma, that no one has yet seen and is concealed.
Amen.
Okay, and it goes further on to describe in very great detail what took place. This is a very unique period of time where the poiskim, they decided according to the halacha that it was proper for one man to take the life of his fellow man, for a parent to take the life of their children. Better that should be done rather than allow the children to be taken away by the Christians and converted to Christianity. This was the thinking of the poiskim, of the deciders of halacha of the day. Today, it's very hard for us in our modern times to understand this. I don't believe today, if there would be Rahman al-Istan, anything equivalent to something like this, that you would have today a poisek that would say that it would be permitted to do such a thing, that a person should sacrifice their own children and view it as a sacrifice to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, instead of allowing the children to be taken away by the Ovdei Avodah Zarah. But yet, in this time, this was the psak halacha from the Gedolei Yisrael. And the fact that it's recorded and it's presented over here indicates that it was correct in this time. It may not be correct in our time, but it was considered to be valid. And you see over here the incredible Mesiras Nefesh that took place during this very difficult period of time. So Sach HaKol, we have over here a little bit of history of the First Crusade. We have over here basically four kinos that commemorate, reflect this event. This event affected Rashi very much. Rashi at this point in time lived in France. Rashi was 56 years old at this point in time. The First Crusade, the Crusaders, they murdered Rashi's teachers, Rashi's chaverim. Rashi studied for many years in Germany, in these cities. And Rashi was very much affected by what happened at this point in time in this event. And Rashi's Bezdin composed the Tefillah of the Av HaRachamim, which we recite every single Shabbos. That was originally composed by Rashi's Bezdin in commemoration of the First Crusade. On Erev Rosh Hashanah, there is a Selicha that we recite. Some suggest that Rashi himself composed this Selicha also as a commemoration of the First Crusade. The First Crusade, how many people died in this period of time? It's not so clear. Some say 5,000, some say 10,000, some say 25,000. When you compare it to the Holocaust, you'll say that it's a very small number. But yet, the significance of the First Crusade is given enormous attention for many, many reasons. The simplest reason given is it set a precedent in Jewish history that a Jew's blood can be spilled with no accountability. It was the first time that there was a large-scale mob violence where no one stood up to defend Am Yisrael, Klal Yisrael. It set a precedent in this world that there's no one going to hold you accountable for harming, murdering, and spilling the blood of a Jew. Klal Yisrael was not prepared for this. They never saw this coming. They were not prepared, and it also changed Klal Yisrael after this event to protect themselves, to do hishtadlus that Rachmana Litzlan, something like this should never ever happen again. And that is why it's given enormous attention in the eyes of Jewish and Orthodox historians, as the significance of what happened here is something you should never forget. Someone even said that the seeds of the Holocaust are rooted in what happened during the time of the First Crusade. It's not exactly the same, but it definitely set into motion a precedence that is very, very frightening. Okay, now, we have a choice now. It's already 10:40. Now is the time when normally we finish Nach. So we can take a very short break, and I think that the best thing was to continue this, just to continue this for another hour. And maybe the very end, I'll tell you a short word on the parasha, because I think it's very important that we should really, even though I did prepare for Chumash today, I think it's more important that we spend some more time. So I'll take now a very short break for Mamish for 60 seconds, and then we will continue with the remaining kinos.